Super Talk Mississippi Media Production. You're listening to Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi, covering Mississippi State sports like nobody else. With Sports Talk Mississippi's Brian Haydad and Robbie Falk of On3 Sports. Now get ready for Thunder and Lightning.
This is an emergency edition of Thunder and Lightning here on supertalk.fm or wherever it is that you get podcasts from. I'm Brian Haydad. He's Robbie Falk. No ads. There is another full podcast on the podcast feed down below where we talk some football. We've got a spring preview on there. Plenty of good stuff down there. You can scroll down if you want to listen to us talk about that. It's the one with the picture of Phil Loadholt on it. But let me see what time this text was, Robbie, that you sent me. I want to see. So I'm sitting here. Robbie and I had recorded the pod, and about 1:58 p.m., Mr. Falk texts me, is Lamona supposed to come on today?
So proof, this is proof that we had an inkling.
Yeah. And I said, yes. I'd be very interested to see if that happens. So I haven't been doing anything at this point. I was just putting podcast stuff together, getting it all set up.
This was like 30 minutes after we got done recording.
Yeah. Yeah,
not even that. No, it was like 15 minutes. It was 15 minutes after we got done recording.
Yeah. I said, you think he'll no-show? I think there's a chance he's no longer the coach. And I just sent back the eyes emoji. And then I got to texting, and sure enough, there it is. Chris Lemonis, no longer the head baseball coach at Mississippi State. I will start with this, and you can disagree with me if you want. I don't think Robbie will disagree with me, but I think some of you guys might. That's fine. When I think about Chris Lemonis for the rest of my life, I will remember him as the coach who finally got Mississippi State to a national championship. I don't really care who recruited what players. I don't really care who did what. No other coach had been able to do it, and he did it. And for that, he has my gratitude. To take it a step further, I always thought Chris Lemonis, the man, was a good man. I was always, free with his time. I mean, has come on Sports Talk Mississippi after wins and losses and talked about his team. Always was kind enough to talk to me during the fall to do those previews. And just on top of it, just a nice enough guy. When I would see him around town, he would speak. We would talk. And I'm not saying he and I were friends by any stretch of the imagination, but we had a good relationship, I think. And I think even though Robbie and he had some – they butted heads a little bit at times, I still think Robbie and him had a good relationship as well.
I mean, we actually had some fun moments in press conferences. And, like, I go back to the College World Series after they had beaten Texas maybe. We didn't get a chance to do the College World Series post-game in a press conference setting back then.
Right.
Because we had COVID. So we did Zooms. And I remember I still got this video. Whoever was moderating said, well, coach, I think we're having trouble with the microphones. We can't hear people talking when they're asking questions. He just out of nowhere quips, oh, good, that means I don't have to hear Robbie Falk talk. Lim was, like, dry-witted. He was fun to be around in those certain situations. I hope if he is, in fact, listening to this, which I seriously doubt he is, that he understands that nothing that we ever said was personal.
Yeah, I think he knows that.
Nothing that we ever said was said intentionally to, we're trying to get him fired or we have a vendetta against him.
Right.
I know that he did not like a lot of things that you and I said, and he's voiced that not to me, face to face or anything. And I think that was more like he didn't want to really deal with it.
Those turn into viral moments, you attack somebody at a press conference, that can be an issue. So.
And I also think he just didn't want to really make a big deal out of it. He just was like annoyed by it and he just wanted to voice it to someone.
Yeah.
And I don't think that he ever really, I don't know how he feels about us or about me, but I do hope he understands that it's never been personal for me or you, and that I greatly respect the man. I think he handled himself with dignity while he was coach here at Mississippi State. I can't tell you a single time where I would say he didn't handle himself very well in that situation, or that was really unprofessional, or, you know, he was being a jerk or something like that. He was a very and maybe it's the time that he spent at the Citadel. Mm-hmm. He was a very stoic guy.
Yeah.
And he was a guy that really handled himself, like I said, with dignity and handled himself the right way. It just didn't work out here. But like you said, at the end of the day, no one can ever take away the term Chris Lemonis national champion head coach.
Yeah.
And he cannot take away the fact that he was the one that led Mississippi State to its first national title. And you can talk about that's John Cohen, Andy Canizero's recruits, whatever. Mississippi State doesn't win the national title without Will Bednar. They don't win a national title about Houston Harding, even Braylon Skinner. So, yeah, most of that roster was Chris Lemonis and, John Cohen and Andy Canizero. But he put those guys in place. He stayed out of their way. He let them play loose. He let them be themselves. Chris Lemonis was every bit a part of that championship run, and he deserves that credit.
Yeah.
And I don't want these last 4 years to overshadow that. But the decision that was made on Monday was necessary.
Yes.
With the way the direction of this program was going, this had to happen. And you can argue when it should happen. Kyle Peterson and Kendall Rogers and those guys can argue that.
Mm-hmm.
But
well,
at the end of the
I
day,
agree with what you said on your message board, that if State were to get hot here at the end and get into the tournament, it could muddy the waters a little bit. It could make it can make the decision more difficult. And at the end 100%. Of the day, this program is not trending the way it wants. I absolutely love the quote from Zach Selman, where he talks about. Let me find there's the official.
Say what you want about Zach Selman. These quotes that he makes in these press releases and at press conferences after these things happen,
he knows how to talk.
You want to run through a brick wall.
This is the way. This program is built for success. Our history proves it, and our future demands it. We are one of only four programs in NCAA history to reach the College World Series in six consecutive decades. With 40 NCAA tournament appearances, 12 trips to Omaha, 11 SEC regular season titles, and a national championship, our program has always been a national contender. That is the bar. We are going to find a leader who will embrace that, elevate our program, and compete for championships.
That's the way to say it.
I couldn't have put it any more succinctly myself. And, well done, Zach Selman.
And we'll see how they handle this coaching search. This is a huge hire. This is absolutely a huge hire. This is a very pivotal time in college athletics. And every single sport, when you make a hire now, you need to hit. You really do. And I think Mississippi State baseball's support is going to be there until the end of time. I just don't see Mississippi State fans. It's such ingrained in their culture now.
Mm-hmm.
I think that the support's always going to be there. It's just how long does it take to get this thing back? And that's what's really key here in the hire that you make. You need to hire someone that has energy to compete in this time frame, in this era, and that is going to embrace the transfer portal and make that a big part of your program, while also embracing the fact that, you know, Mississippi State, the expectations here are different than they are at most places. And that's why I think that this is such an interesting hire for Mississippi State too, and who is going to be interested in this job. Because I think there's a lot of people out there that are not interested, that are good coaches,
mm-hmm.
good to great coaches, that are not interested in the pressure that Mississippi State entails. And I'll explain that a little bit.
Okay.
I think the pressure is greater than the reality, and that I want to be careful in how I say this, because I think that State has accomplished a lot as a program. There's a rich tradition here. But at the end of the day, this program's won one national title. this program has won one SEC championship in 35 years. They haven't hosted a ton of regionals and a ton of super regionals in the last, you know, decade plus. The results have not really backed up how Mississippi State fans have supported this program. And maybe that's the fact that State's never been able to realize their potential long term and do it over and over again and be an LSU or be an Arkansas like that consistently. Maybe it's just that they haven't had the right coaches in place to do that. I don't know. But the results and the fact of the matter is it is a lot harder to reach the expectations that you have here than what Mississippi State's actually done. Now, they have been to Omaha in six straight decades, and they've done it regardless of the coach. They've done it with six different coaches, I guess. So I'm not putting Mississippi State baseball down. I'm just saying I think that a lot of fans believe that Mississippi State is a top five job, and that's just not the reality. I don't think that this job is in that realm. I do think that it can be a top 10 job, and I do believe that they can hire a really, really good coach. But I think a lot of people think, just go get Tony Vitello, and that's just not reality.
I would say this. I would say Mississippi State can be a top five job. It can be. It has the ceiling to do that. But that doesn't mean it can take a coach like Tony Vitello.
Yeah.
You know, you can go out and get an outstanding
coach. It can be a top five job, but it hasn't proven that.
It hasn't been. But what I would say is from 16 to 21, when you're talking about five straight super regionals, three trips to the College World Series, an SEC championship, and a national championship, that's top five.
But all time?
All time, no. You're right. Yeah, for sure.
And right now, they're falling down the pecking order. There's only, and especially in this era, the support, the crowds, the stadium, it's not as important as it was. It's still a big deal. But what's your development? Are you putting and State has put a lot of players in the pros and they're getting guys in the MLB. What's your development? How much money are you going to get? All that stuff. State's got to be able to do that to keep up with those teams. Because right now, I mean, Tennessee is a really attractive program, one of the best programs in the country. And long term, all time, I wouldn't put them in the top 15. But right now they are.
Yeah.
And Mississippi State's falling down that pecking order.
Well, yeah. That's true about a lot of sports where, you know, programs jump up and then they jump back down.
But that's kind of my point. Like, you're selling that right now in this cycle to coaches that are looking at the grand scheme of things and they're looking at it and they're saying, I mean, because the average coach is going to think like Kyle Peterson and Kendall Rogers did. And I'm not bashing those guys. I'm just saying they're removed from Mississippi State, and we are very close to it. We look at Mississippi State and we say this is unacceptable to have four straight seasons where you're not hosting a regional, and in three of these four, you're not going to postseason. Cal Peterson and Kendall Rogers and coaches and people that follow college baseball, I saw it in my mentions from people all over the country. They're firing this guy and he won them their first national title? What? That makes no sense. But in reality, you're investing all this money in this product, and you've fallen down the pecking order, and you're now 15th, 14th in the league with a 7-14 record, 2 years removed from having back-to-back 9-win SEC seasons. This is unacceptable for the amount of money put into this program. And 4 years is plenty of time to turn this around. That's what I would say to the people that are like, why are they making this move and why are they doing it right now? Well, he's had 4 years to get this back on track and he hasn't. And the point that I made earlier about on the board about the fact that they don't want to have a situation where there's a prolonged run in the postseason, say State, you know, goes on a run and gets to Omaha or something, and then you turn around next year and you got some of the same issues you've had. Well, now you're stuck in the situation, and you've probably extended Chris Lemonis at that point. I don't know. I don't know what would happen. So Zach Selman wanted to avoid that, and that's what you get. whether he was fired now or after the season doesn't matter. Zach Selman felt like this was time. And I told people this last week when some people were saying that, you know, Selman doesn't care about baseball. They're not going to treat this like the last staff did. They're just going to let his contract roll off. That's not the case. They have not been happy with the product, and it's very evident in the fact that they didn't renew they didn't extend Chris Lemonis' contract after last year.
Right.
They're just going to let this thing roll out, and Chris was not very happy with that, based on what I'm told, that Mississippi State didn't give him an extension after getting back to the regionals. But that Zach Selman was not pleased with the product. He was expecting more. He didn't get it, and he made the move.
I think I've always thought the Selman doesn't want to do blah, blah, blah thing is really funny, because the same people will tell you in the same breath, he's applying for every job out there. Well, nobody's going to hire a guy who, you know, he's made one hire and that guy went 2-10.
Yeah.
So, you know, if he wants to get his resume up to get out of here, he's got to do that. He's got to hire coaches and have them be successful.
And he's told us to our faces that he has not pursued other jobs.
Right.
And whether or not he's done that, I don't know.
Yeah.
But if he's either doing two things. He's either trying to be really successful at this job for himself and for Mississippi State,
mm-hmm.
or he's trying to be successful with this job so he can get a better job.
Yeah.
I don't think he's sitting
either
there.
Either way, Mississippi State is successful. Either way.
Yes. So he's not just sitting there collecting a check.
So. All right. So Lemonis out. What does that mean? Let's do this in two ways. What does it mean for the rest of this season? Justin Parker takes over in the interim. I think I'm going to have to come to baseball tomorrow night. So we can talk to him. What do we think about the rest of this season? Is this something that could spark a late run, put him into the postseason, or do you think maybe they just want to play out the string?
I would expect Mississippi State to come out fighting. This was one of my arguments for a coaching change in the middle of the year before, because so many times we've seen teams that have been kind of stuck in the mud or going through the motions, and you make a change like this and all of a sudden it kind of sparks something in them. And this team is still talented. We've said all year that this team is far more talented than what they're producing. So it would not shock me in the least to see them make a run. I think they're perfectly capable of doing it. But what you're looking at now is, if you're wanting to make postseason, how many times we had this conversation, but I think it's warranted at this point. You got to win these next two series, and you got to sweep Missouri pretty much. Not outside the realm of possibility, but it's going to be tough. Kentucky is not an easy out. They have a couple of really good pitchers. Ole Miss is not going to be an easy out. And then Missouri, I mean, that's a team that likely will be trying to avoid 0-30.
Mm-hmm.
So it's going to be very interesting, but I really believe this team's going to rally here, whether it be around Chris Lemonis or for themselves, I don't know. But I do think that this team is going to fight here. I would be a little surprised if they didn't.
What changes about this team in the next 3 weeks?
The biggest thing, if you do have that mindset, you have nothing to lose, is whenever something goes bad, this year we've seen this team get dejected at times.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe they play a lot more loose. Baseball is such a strange game. It's unlike any other game out there. You know, the mindset is so big in this sport that it can do some amazing things. I've seen some teams that were not super talented do some pretty incredible things in May and June. And I think that this team has those capabilities. They come out and play loose. They don't let a two-out walk snowball, or you know, they don't let an error really dictate the rest of an inning. I think that could be a game-changing situation for them. So I'm interested to see how they respond. I think Tuesday will be a good barometer for that. It's Memphis, but if they come out and they're going through the motions, then maybe this is going to be a pretty quick ending to the season. If they come out and they're smoking the ball and they're throwing strikes and they have that look in their eye, then let's see what happens.
And then we got to talk about the long term, obviously. And you've put up a hot board available over there at 013 Sports. Let's start with the big picture question. And that's, we have learned over the past few years watching some of the other hires that have been made around this conference that it's just difficult to get a head coach to move. It's a winning head coach wants to stay at their program for the most part. Now, you can offer some outrageous salaries, maybe, but for the most part, sitting head coaches, it's going to be tough. That's not to say that Mississippi State can't put together an incredibly attractive offer to some top head coach and bring in a guy, maybe not from the absolute top tier. Obviously, I don't think Tony Vitello is a realistic candidate for Mississippi State, but could Mississippi State find a guy like Jay Johnson? Jay Johnson was a really good coach. I wouldn't have clicked. Classified him as one of the top five coaches in college baseball when he got the LSU job, but he was a successful head coach at Arizona. Do
It
you
was
think,
a good pull.
yeah, do you think Mississippi State could make a Jay Johnson-like hire?
If they do, it will be because that person was wanting to get out,
Okay.
and this is the best job available. So, in that realm, what I would consider like a Jay Johnson type hire for Mississippi State would be like a Kevin O'Sullivan. If, and you know, it's been rumored for years, last several years, that, you know, there's been talk that he wanted to get out of Florida. I don't know if that's going to be the case or not. This has been kind of a down year for them. They've kind of turned it around a little bit, but if that's the case, then it would have to be something like that. You know, him falling in Mississippi State's lap. Maybe a Eric Bakich from Clemson.
That's something I really like. I don't know how realistic it is.
Yeah, and you know, I've heard from some people that he's wanting to get out, but I don't know. I don't know enough in my Clemson circles to really feel great about that. But here's where I'm kind of setting my net. Like I'm going to call some of the better coaches on this list, and I had Wes Johnson, Nick Mangione, and some others on there. I think you make those calls, but here's the problem with both of those coaches is they have long-term deals beyond the next 5 years, and they're both getting paid over $1 million. So you can do the math on how much that's going to cost to buy them out of their contracts. And then on top of that, you're going to have to pay them more to leave their schools. I don't think Wes Johnson's a realistic candidate. I had him on
I
my
agree.
hot board because it made sense. Just because he's a former Mississippi State assistant. I don't think Mangione is really realistic either. But again, he was here for 7 years or whatever it was, and you got to put him on there. For that reason, I don't think Butch Thompson is really realistic either. So the three former assistants, I wouldn't cross off the list, but I don't think they're going to happen. I would give them a call, see if they're interested in coming home, but you know, I don't think that's going to happen.
Yeah.
My most realistic candidate for this job that is a sitting power four head coach that is really good is Chris Pollard at Duke.
Okay.
I think that Pollard is a very realistic hire. I think that State can make that hire. He was up for the Miami job a couple of years ago. They extended him. I think he had a 2-year extension. As far as I can find on the internet, I could be wrong, but I can't find any other contract extensions for him. This is his final year on his contract. And we don't have access to the financials because it's a private institution. That would be the best hire I think Mississippi State can make if you don't have a Kevin O'Sullivan fall in your lap situation, which I'm not expecting. I think Chris Pollard is the best coach that you can hire. Program builder, did it at Appalachian State, did it at Duke. Duke had not been to an NCAA tournament since 1961. He had them in the tournament, I believe, in year 3 or 4. And they have now been in the tournament 5 out of the last 6 years, I think. So he's done something there that no one has ever done in the history, and their program had not done combined in their history. That program has zero tradition, and he's made them a consistent top 25 program year, just about year in, year out. So Chris Pollard is a phenomenal coach, would be a big time hire for Mississippi State if he wants to leave. And he was interested in leaving a couple years ago, like I said, when he was looking at the Miami job. So we'll see what happens there. Duke obviously not putting a lot of resources in there. I can't imagine he's making a ton of money.
Right.
I would feel certain saying he's not making over $1 million, just because Duke it just is not going to give a lot of money to baseball. So you have that in your favor. We'll see if Mississippi State's able to pull that off. And then from there, as far as realistic sitting power four coaches, I don't know. I don't know who State can pull. There's some group of five coaches that I really like. I like Schuyler Mead a lot over at Troy. He was the pitching coach at South Carolina a few years ago, and he's really kind of rising up the ranks. I think he's going to be coaching major college baseball very soon. I think he would do really well in this era and with Mississippi State's resources. That wouldn't be awful. And then from the assistant coach ranks, which you know my stance on assistant coaches, more often than not, I want a power four assistant coach over a group of five head coach in a lot of situations. So I'm looking at Elander over at Tennessee. I think that would be an excellent hire. My dark horse for this job is not going to make a lot of people happy, but I think it could work. And that's Will Coggin,
Okay.
who's at Georgia.
There's a lot of buzz that he's the next guy.
Yeah. It's a tricky situation. It's a very tricky situation. You're handing over the reins to somebody that's never been a head coach, and Mississippi State's done that before in sports and it hasn't worked. They hired Andy Cannizzaro, which I think
It was
would have
working.
worked.
It was working.
Yes.
But then he got,
I put Coggin in a similar realm as Cannizzaro as far as his recruiting and coaching. I don't want to throw anything else on Will Coggin there,
Right, you
but
should not do that.
let me explain a little something about Will Coggin. One of the best evaluators in college baseball, one of the best hitting coaches in college baseball, one of the best recruiters in college baseball, because he is an absolute psychopath when it comes to the sport. I don't know if he has any other hobbies outside of baseball. He lives and breathes it. He's constantly evaluating, constantly recruiting, teaching the game. He came to Mississippi State. He helped evaluate guys like Jordan and recruit Jordan Westberg, Justin Foscue, all those guys in 2019 that are really good. Will Coggin was a part of that whole process. He goes to Kentucky. Kentucky, I wouldn't say that Nick Mangione was on the hot seat, but they were not playing extremely well. He recruited, evaluated, and made that offense what it was the last couple of years for them. And he left and went to Georgia. Obviously, a lot of those players are still around in Kentucky doing some really big things, and they won the SEC last year. Goes to Georgia. The last 2 years, they've had one of the best offenses in the country. And a lot of that is Will Coggin and Nick Amirati. Nick Amirati, former Mississippi State player as well, was also at Kentucky. So that duo has helped transform essentially, well, maybe not Amirati at Mississippi State, but Coggin has helped transform essentially three different SEC programs. And whether or not he's able to do that as a head coach, I don't know. But he is my dark horse. And like I said, that might not excite the fan base because he hasn't done it as a head coach. And I think a lot of people have their hearts set on this being a big time hire. I'm not saying that it's not going to be, but I think that you could do a lot worse with what we've seen from Will Coggin. He's, like you said, he's probably the next man up somewhere. I think he's going to do some really big things. And I don't think Georgia's doing what they're doing right now without Will Coggin.
I'm going to give you another name. that was thrown around on Sports Talk Mississippi. I don't think it's, I don't know how super realistic it is. I don't know that it is realistic at all. Is Christian Ostrander a candidate you would talk about?
I would give him a call. I don't know if he's really interested. And again, I think people are just, they can't really understand that because it's like, why would you not go from Southern Miss to Mississippi State? I think what you have to consider is a lot of these coaches in college baseball are happy with where they're at. They're making enough money that it appeases them. And a lot of them don't want the pressure of playing in the SEC and playing in front of this fan base. I mean, it's not for everybody. So I would give him a call. I don't think I'm not opposed to that at all. I think he's a great coach, really good evaluator, really good developer of pitchers. He's done that for years over at Southern Miss. And obviously he's kept things rolling right behind Scott Barry. So I wouldn't be opposed to it.
Kind of timeline. I mean, we got to get through all of this, right? If we're talking about like Chris Pollard, I mean, he's going to be in the regionals. He could be in a super regional. It's going to be mid-June probably before anything, unless they go the assistant route.
It really just depends. Yeah, it could be the assistant round. Georgia hired Wes Johnson in the middle of LSU season.
That's true.
It just depends. I would, if I'm Zach Selman, if I am going that route, I would try to get that done before the postseason ends to try to keep as many players as you can here because there will be a lot of transfers from Mississippi State, I would imagine. But you can't keep coaches based on rosters. You got to do what you got to do and just suffer the consequences and try to rebuild it if you have to. But I think that I would try to get somebody in here as quickly as possible. And if that's an assistant, I would try to get them in here before their season ends. If it's not, then immediately after that coach's season ends, try to get them in here. One guy we didn't talk about that's also on my list is Mark Wazikowski
We did not. Yeah,
from
that's a guy
Oregon.
I feel. That's another guy I feel like, as far as Power Five guys go or Power Four guys go, would be willing to make that move.
I think he and Chris Pollard are probably your most realistic. This guy, I don't know if you remember, when he was at Purdue, when Lemonis was being hired, he was a name that came up. And I think that John Cohen was interested in him. And I can kind of see why. He's kind of like, he's a
Yeah.
good
He'd only been a
John
head coach
Cohen.
for like 2 years, though, right? At Purdue.
He had like kind of a rough first season and then he started to turn it around.
Yeah.
But it was one of those situations where it's like, do you really want to take this
You
chance? This
couldn't go
guy.
with another unproven guy and say what you wanted. At that moment, Lamonis had won games.
Yeah. And since he's been at Oregon, they've been to, I think, two super regionals. They've been to the NCAA tournament every year. They won the Pac-12 conference tournament championship a couple years ago. They're really good again this year.
Are
That's
they leaving
another
the Big
great
Ten?
coach. He and Chris Pollard are very safe hires. Two guys that I think would do really well here. If you're able to get either one of those, you jump at it, I think.
Remember when Justin Hare was a big candidate? He's 11-30 at Ohio State
Yeah.
this year. Jeez Louise.
And he left Campbell and lost, they lost the entire team. The
Yeah.
entire team entered the portal. And yeah, that has just not worked. But that's the thing. I mean, this is when you take those group of five coaches, it happens in the Power Five too, Power Four, whenever guys go from place to place, and sometimes it's not a good fit. And I think that that's a big jump. And he's playing at a place like at Ohio State that's just not traditionally like a great program. And I don't know, it's just not translating. So that's kind of my issue with hiring this group of five coaches. I liked Justin Hare a lot. He was a guy that I would have gone after had something happened with Chris Lemonis prior to this, but yeah, I think the bloom's off the rose there.
Anything else we're leaving out?
I think we pretty much covered it. I mean, this is just it's crazy, man. Like this was such a wild roller coaster with Chris Lemonis. And I can't tell you where it went wrong. Like I don't really know exactly what happened to make it tank like it did. I after that national championship,
It should have taken off. Should
we
have
were
taken off.
adamant. We were adamant
Yeah.
that state, the floodgates were about to
I would have
explode.
said in the next 4 seasons, State would have won another national title.
I mean, we thought that they were going to get anybody they wanted out of the portal. It just didn't work. And I hate it because Chris Simonis is a good person. I think that he and his family loved Starkville. And I think he did a really good job those first couple of years, but it's like when he lost those leaders in the locker room, he could never find it again. He got a little bit of it back last year, like with David Mershon and Cal Steven and those guys, but he just really struggled to find those alpha dogs that just took over ball games. He just really struggled to recruit those type of players. And I think that was a big factor in it because he is, like we said earlier, very stoic guy. He's not a huge rah-rah guy. We've seen some of his speeches that have been really good speeches and inspiring and all that, but that's not really his thing. He's not like light a fire under you kind of guy. He
Right.
kind of sits back and lets
A little more
you.
professional almost in his
He's almost
approach.
like a major league manager.
Yeah.
Like he's just a really good, well, he hadn't even been really good game manager the last few years. That's what's kind of weird is I thought he managed things incredibly well those first 2 seasons, but he just never was able to get it back.
Right. Obviously, over the coming weeks and so, we will be, updating you with every bit of information we can get on this coaching search and everything else. We'll see what happens. Looking forward to talking to Justin Parker after the game Tuesday night as well. See what his thoughts are on being the interim. Part just something we need, real quick. Parker got no real chance at this job, right?
I don't think so. I
Me
think they're
either.
going to be looking elsewhere. I
What
think
about
it's
his
just
chance to stay on the staff?
that's
Just depends, right?
possible. Were you a little surprised they didn't give it to Gotro?
Yes.
I
Then you're
actually
longer.
put in my article that this is before Mississippi State released it when I first published the article that a candidate for the interim position was Jake Gotro because he'd actually done it before.
Yeah.
And that's what Selman did with Greg Knox. Is that he made him the interim because he had done it. I was kind of expecting that, but
Just made Greg Knox the interim.
undefeated the rest of the regular
Yeah.
season.
He goes out to take the lineup card out on a four-wheeler. Let's go.
16-14 finish in SEC play,
Yeah.
SEC tournament champions, and national title.
I'm
Here we
not
go.
complaining. I'm just saying. All right. Like I said, everything else, as we update, we get it, we'll update you. Don't forget, if you want football talk, there's another podcast just below us here where you can get a lot of talk about the transfer portal, all the offensive linemen coming into Mississippi State. So please check that out as well. All right, guys, that's our emergency edition. Chris Lemonis fired at Mississippi State. The search begins for the next skipper of the Diamond Dogs. For Robbie Falk, I'm Brian Adat. Thanks for listening to Thunder and Lightning here on Super Talk, Mississippi.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.